IFPRI Policy Seminar, A Post-Bali Food Security Agenda, held on May 6, 2014 in Washington, D.C. Speaker, Stefan Tangerman, from the University of Göttingen, Germany.
Thanks a lot. The OECD is engaged in providing objective analysis, and that's indeed in the interest of everybody, isn't it? So I have the big pleasure of presenting to you in very brief form the conclusions of an exercise that we've been engaged in, a whole group of people brought together by the ICTSD and the IPC to look at the agricultural situation in the context of the multilateral trade negotiations. And we have taken the approach to consider which new challenges have arisen since the beginning of the Doha negotiations, and then from that to derive priorities and to come up with a couple of policy options. Now, when it comes to the new challenges, most of you would probably agree that they have particularly arisen from market developments that tended to be demand constrained. The implication was that prices have declined in real terms. Then we've had this about excessive variability of these high price increases in 2007-08 and again in 2010-11. Now, how is that going to continue? The projections of FAO and OECD look like that. Now, if you put trends in these lines, then the past trend was that, and the future trend may be this. The point is, it looks a bit like we have now embarked on a higher plateau of prices on international food markets, and that changes a lot in the way also the trade regime has to deal with these matters. Part of that was certainly related to the rapid expansion of the demand for agricultural commodities as feedstocks in the bioenergy sector, the volatility talked about already. Another development on markets was that we've seen a growing market share of the developing countries in food markets, both as importers and exporters, and that has, of course, changed constellations. Climate change impacts are expected to have an effect on what happens on agricultural markets. There have, though, also been new developments in the policy domain. The levels of support in a number of developed countries have decreased. This is just the change in producer support estimates from 1995 to 2010-12. On the left-hand side, you have major developed economies, European Union, United States. But then on the other hand, when you look at some major developing and emerging economies, their rates of support have increased, not the least in large economies such as China, Indonesia, and Brazil. There's a rapidly growing interest in addressing the implications of climate change, but also in environmental matters. The world has, of course, now had many years of experience with the agreement on agriculture concluded in the Uruguay round. As far as the trade regime is concerned, the rapid expansion of the number of RTAs has been a very important trend. And we believe that all that has implications for the priorities that are of relevance to the multilateral trade regime. On the one hand, of course, the fact that we have a growing scarcity, as it appears, of food products, it means that progress in all the traditional elements included in the Doha Round negotiation is absolutely urgently needed. The more there is scarcity, the more important it is that markets work efficiently, that trade can bridge the gap between the deficit and the surplus countries. So, nothing to deduct from the relevance of the traditional items on the negotiating table in the Doha round. But then, on the other hand, the change in market conditions in particular means that there may be a need for paying more attention to the burden that one country's policies can place on food consumers in other countries. And that's quite a bit of a philosophical change to the way the multilateral trade regime is operated. It has always had a focus on what my country's policies do to your country's producers, so to try and achieve fair competition among producers. But what my country's policies do to your country's food consumers is something that has been far less in the focus of the traditional approach in the multilateral trade regime. And we suggest that maybe that needs to be reconsidered a bit. Not the least because it's so important to improve food security in the poorer countries. And we feel that that is an important way in which the global community can demonstrate to developing countries that in this round of trade negotiations, that after all are called the Doha development agenda, the trade regime can really do something very beneficial for the developing countries by improving their food security. To date, the interpretation of what the development aspect is of that round to a large extent is to reduce the extent to which developing countries have to honor the disciplines of the global trading regime. And that's not necessarily the most helpful approach. Our report suggests a number of actions in various policy fields for shorter and longer term, and I can't really take you through all of them. Let me just single out a few. The first area that we've considered is what happens in the area of export restraints, and what we've suggested there is nothing sort of absolutely innovative, except we've essentially said some of the initiatives that have emerged from different corners of the system, they now need to be taken seriously and need to be implemented in action by countries agreeing to, for example, achieve more transparency when it comes to individual governments engaging in export restrictions. The process of consultations needs to be taken more seriously. There is this wording in the Agreement on Agriculture that countries may have the possibility of engaging export restrictions when they believe they need to prevent or relieve critical shortages of foodstuffs, but there is not yet any proper procedure to discuss whether that is actually the case and to identify those situations in which countries can actually do this, and we believe it would help a lot also to make the governments of those exporting countries concerned think a bit about what they are doing, if there is a proper procedure for discussing these matters. Then there's, of course, this suggestion by the G20 to exempt food aid for humanitarian purposes from export restrictions, and we much endorse that, and also suggest that in the longer term, there may be a need to put in constraints on export taxes to close loopholes when countries feel they no longer can engage in quantitative restrictions. The biofuels area, we suggest that it would be very useful to have a proper procedure for notifying support that's given to production and consumption of biofuels so the world knows how much individual governments are engaged in that area. But then in the longer term, it would appear to be very useful to have constraints on biofuel support levels. We also have a couple of suggestions for the more traditional areas in the negotiations. The green box, of course, it shouldn't be policies that distort production and trade that benefit from inclusion there. What really is the most important purpose of the green box is to place a focus on public goods, and there may be a point in at some point constraining the amount of support that can be given to farm incomes in many developed countries through decoupled payments. There is also a need for creating more transparency as to why countries believe they can bring their policies under the green box, and it would be helpful if they become eligible for green box treatment only after notification. We also have a slightly controversial suggestion there on international cooperation and assistance. That's based on the experience in the early 70s that development assistance to agriculture has risen after the food crisis there, but then it has declined a lot again. We suggest that mustn't happen again, and therefore have that proposal for a new instrument of financial solidarity between what countries do for their farmers in the richer part of the world and what they do to support agricultural development in poor countries. The suggestion is to make them pay a certain share of the support they provide to their farmers, also to agricultural development and improving food security in developing countries. Now, the conclusion obviously is that there are a number of new challenges in the world food system, that a focus is absolutely needed on improving food security. We believe the trade system can do a lot to indeed achieve that. That doesn't subtract anything from the importance of what's happening anyhow in the Doha negotiations. But there are a couple of policy actions that can be taken to indeed respond to these new challenges and to demonstrate that way that the trade regime can really be of benefit to the developing countries. Thanks a lot.